While Americans were being killed in World War II, over 416,000 dear souls, a man named Alfred Kinsey was busy conducting research at Indiana University. Kinsey's research was really sexual perversion of the worst sort, and he used it to label the greatest American generation, those who fought and died in World War II, as sexual deviants. Kinsey's blatant lies and the depravity upon which they are based have been soundly condemned and refuted. Yet, the lies in Kinsey's good name persist to this day on the campus of Indiana University, where a statue to Kinsey, amazingly, still stands. Stay tuned for my conversation with noted author and researcher Dr. Judith Reisman next.
And now, here's Dr. Mike.
Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me today for this conversation with Dr. Judith Reisman about her book, Sexual Sabotage, How One Mad Scientist Unleashed a Plague of Corruption and Contagion on America. Dr. Reisman is a researcher, author, historian, and teacher. She has focused on research into pornography as a pandemic, addicting men, women, and children, and upon exposing Dr. Alfred Kinsey's fraudulent, I might add, sex science research and education. Dr. Reisman is professor of psychology at Liberty University School of Behavioral Sciences. She is a research professor at the Reisman Institute as well, director there, scientific advisor for California Protective Parents Association, distinguished senior fellow, the Inter-American Institute, president of Institute for Media Education. And folks, you'll have to visit her website, drjudithreisman.com, drjudithreisman.com, for all of her books. Too many to list, but fantastic research and information. Dr. Reisman, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Absolutely delighted. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, yeah. I've been looking forward to our conversation. And would you prefer I call you Dr. Reisman, or is Judith okay?
Well, we can stick with Judith. That's
wonderful.
A really good idea.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Judith. Now, you've spent several decades researching and exposing what Alfred Kinsey actually did in his research. And I'm thankful that you have done this, that you've devoted, as I said, many, many years to this, and that you've not given up. So my question as we begin is, does it seem to you that Americans are deaf to the reality of the roots of the sexual perversion that has certainly gripped America, or do you see hope that people are becoming aware and speaking out more forcefully about it?
Well, both sides. One, yes, they've become deaf. Yeah. Two, there's hope. The hope really comes from the internet, which is also a terrible problem.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's black and it's white. You know, there's a recent piece out, a documentary that I'm especially fascinated by and want to bring to everybody's attention. It's called Out of the Shadows. And I'm just writing because it has informed me. I'm doing a piece on the CIA, absolutely appalling research that the CIA did during World War II, and then directly after World War II, they did Nazi style research with MK Ultra and the Mockingbird and all those other paperclip things. Yeah, I mean they were doing terrible things, but this recent documentary Out of the Shadows deals with Hollywood's role. Working for with the CIA. And I'm just noting, I'm going to quote, pardon me, from Operation Mockingbird, quote, "We'll know our disinformation is complete when everything the American public believes is false." And that's a quote out of William Casey, who is CIA director, 1981 to 1987. And Kevin Shipp, who's a former CIA agent, has done the whistleblowing on that. And in listening to this particular documentary, I'm fascinated because, of course, Kinsey got a major Hollywood film. He was always in the films, you know, after his research came out, they put him into scores of films, little comments and so on. But then it disappeared. And in 2004, we get a major Hollywood film called Kinsey. I don't know if you're familiar with that, starring Liam Neeson.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Major Hollywood film. And I'm thinking, you know, this is crazy. I mean, we don't have a major Hollywood film called Darwin. We don't have, you know, and Darwin had such an impact on the world, on society. So why in 2004, right, do we get this major film starring a hero actor, Liam Neeson, and hero actress, Laura Linney. Why do we get this film on Kinsey, of all things? Of course, it just, you know, covered up everything that horrible that he did, really. They hoped he would win an Academy, numerous Academy Awards, but Laura Schlesinger came out with a major article and to all her fans at the time, saying, you know, this man was raping children for the American public, called making it sound normal. Anyway, why would they do that? Well, because it was sexual sabotage. I mean, Kinsey was the guy who massively changed our sex laws, changed our sex behavior. But you couldn't do that until you changed our sex laws.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we're going to touch on that, folks. This is very, very illuminating, intriguing, amazing story that's based on facts. This book, Judith, that you've written, and you've written several, but sexual sabotage, you give a very inspiring, in fact, I when I was reading it, and I grew up during the 60s, and so I wasn't that far removed. My dad was a World War II veteran, having spent 20 some years in the Navy, and so he came home from the service after 23 years in 65. And so I grew up, and I remember that America that you described. It is a very inspiring history from a perspective of decency, morality, small town or large, didn't matter. Civility, chivalry. There was a common Christian-based morality that undergirded life. And I think it was Tom Brokaw, you mentioned in your book, that coined this phrase, America's greatest generation.
Yes, it was Tom Brokaw.
And so this generation, my dad's generation, they're all fighting World War II. Alfred Kinsey was very busy crafting an extremely one-sided and biased profile of American men, accusing them generally of being a generation of sex offenders. Now that takes a lot of chutzpah, doesn't it? To be sitting back here and creating things. Now That was then, and it remains today, an outrageous lie, and that's to say the least. It's an outrageous lie, but it was it was a well-known propaganda tactic, though, as a form of psychological warfare, encouraging doubt in the minds of soldiers concerning the fidelity of their loved ones at home. And then that demoralizes them, and as you point out in your book, Judith, and here's my question after having said all of that. One of the things that Kinsey's statistics were aimed at achieving was to shift the thinking of an entire generation of people away from honor to suspicion, chastity to promiscuity. That's a fair statement, Judith?
Oh, absolutely. That's so fair. I mean, you know, we're talking about, quote, date. Look, the United States after World War II, okay, we honored science for good reason. You know, I mean, it was science really that helped to bring the boys home, because whether we approved of the atom bomb or not, you know, and it did great damage, just like the internet. You know, I mean, it's black and white,
yes,
right?
That's right.
So while it did great damage, certainly in Japan, my gosh, and I'm sure the guys had no idea how long that would last, right? Generation after generation, but still, I mean, it ended the war. It truly did. It brought to an end, and so and saved so many lives, you know, soldiers' lives, nurses' lives, doctors' lives, you know. And so despite all that, our guys came home traumatized, everybody, you know, they were traumatized. And they had to start all over again. And here is a guy who sends out propaganda claiming that almost half of wives are committing adultery. You know?
Amazing.
What?
Yeah.
What? I mean, you know, that almost half are having, well, I think it was 27% or something, are having abortions. This was so illegal. This was criminal. All these things he said about the women, 4,400, it's in black and white. I couldn't understand how so many people could be just miss this whole thing. I'm beginning to, it takes me a lot of years. 4,441 women, he says, and nobody ever really had a rape. Nobody complained about rape. Well, Pastor, I can call you just.
You can call me Mike or whatever you want.
Mike, yeah.
But I am a
doctor,
pastor. You're right.
No, okay. Oh, no docs, no pastor. Okay, Mike. No, I mean, you know, these were horrible things to say about women. And so you had cartoons about, which were placed, we realize now, the CIA had its influence everywhere.
Yes, that's right.
And these cartoons were placed in mainstream media of, guys suspecting their wives, looking at the Kinsey book and believing it, and of the wives suspecting the husbands, you know, because, of course, 95% were sex offenders, right? What?
Yeah. This craziness. Yeah. Well, folks, Kinsey, and you, again, do your own research. You can go to Judith's website, and that is drjudithreisman.com. All of these books are available. In fact, Judith wants to get this information out into people's hands so they understand. She's giving books away for free. Just go to the website and download them.
Just download.
You can find this information. And listen, it's heavily footnoted, so you can follow the trail.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So what Judith's been talking about here, folks, is that Kinsey released his research on men in 1948. So that was just after the end of World War II. And then he followed that up in 1953 with his research on women. And it's not an understatement to say that both of those reports were widely accepted, believed, and in fact stunned Americans. Academia just went berserk with, well, in my opinion, glee. However, when Kinsey's claims are examined, and you point this out, Judith, They are illogical. They're contradictory. And in fact, I believe that Kinsey's so-called data on child sexuality is actually proof of child sexual torture perpetrated by the very researchers that he hired to do it. Now, here's a quote from your book, from Sexual Sabotage. This is a quote. Prior to Kinsey, the world understood that sexual maturation meant puberty, when sex glands become functional, when a person is first capable of sexual reproduction of offspring, according to a standard dictionary definition. Kinsey was a biologist, a zoologist, but his sexual interest caused him to rev up the natural biological timetable considerably, in complete repudiation of physiological realities of slow, progressive, and normal human development. Kinsey eroticized toddlers and young children and exposed them to sexual stimuli. According to his reports, all infants and children, and I'll say that again, Kinsey believed all infants and children, 100% of them, are potentially orgasmic.
Yeah.
Folks, you cannot make this stuff up.
Kinsey believed.
He believed it.
Yeah.
That is just, that is beyond comprehension for me, Judith, how anyone could possibly believe these lies that I consider straight out of the pits of hell.
Yes. Well, I will say point blank, and I justify this through the documentation. Kinsey himself was a pederast, or a pedophile is what they call it, a pedophile, but a pederast is prefers boys, right? Mm-hmm. And so that absolutely drove his interests, his beliefs. Now, he had sex, of course, with adult men as well. I mean, he had sex with all the guys. You know, he separated himself from his wife, moved upstairs. You have to remember, all his research, 86% of his research was conducted during World War II. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that meant that normal human beings were engaged in the war effort. Now, your audience is too young, but I remember, because I'm 85. Yeah. So I remember all the signs everywhere, posters, all the radios, you know, would intone, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Yes.
Do not give any information about anything, no matter what. And the law enforcement and the army, all people were absolutely forbidden, verboten, to talk to somebody like Kinsey and answer any personal questions, because you worried that somehow, you know, you might slip and say something about that would be dangerous to the war effort. So nobody was talking to Kinsey in those years, who was, if you'll pardon the expression, normal.
Yes, that's right.
He went to mental health, asylums, and got most of his information, quote unquote, from people who were in jail, prisoners, and homosexuals who were not allowed in the army in those years, right? So he could interview them. So it turns out he was doing most of his work in mental asylums and prisons, you know, and that's where he got his people that he called the average American man, woman, and child.
Wow. Talk about skewing the data intentionally.
I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. In chapter 3 of your book, Judith, and folks, again, I'm talking with Dr. Judith Reisman on her book, Sexual Sabotage, Investigating Kinsey and His Research. You provide some background on young Alfred Kinsey that seems to explain, at least in my view, the impetus for what he later became. Here's another quote from Chapter 3. Something went awry in the life, mind, body, and soul of young Alfred Kinsey. Kinsey became a boy with a closeted secret life as a violently masochistic masturbation addict. He became a man whose sexual addiction, self-hatred, and contempt for women shaped his sex research and his legacy. Indeed, sex addicts shaped everything Kinsey thought, said, wrote, did, and hid. Now, I could go on, but I think that's enough for folks that have joined us, Judith, to understand that by any psychological, certainly moral standard, Kinsey was a very disturbed man, and his ideas should not be taken as anything more than the twisted imaginings of a sexually depraved mind. Yet, they are the benchmark for sexuality studies and even government-sponsored sex education, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That's the most dangerous. I don't think there's anything more dangerous to us all now than what's being taught at the from the grammar school, from you know, primary, kindergarten, through, you know, to PhD. I mean, our little children, that's the reason we're dealing with the transgender issue. You know, all of this insanity is based on, well, as Kinsey argued, he said nobody should be allowed to teach about sex except people who had studied with him, right? Yeah. And Planned Parenthood, CECUS, Sex Information and Education Council of the United States, was formed at the Kinsey Institute. It was formed there to do the outreach, which was to start sex education, yeah, in the United States, which we did not really have. We had hygiene. You know, I remember, you know, in school in about one classroom, you know, they would say, well, you know, just don't fool around. Don't have sex because you're liable to get pregnant and you're liable to get a venereal disease. And, you know, it's not the way to start your life. Right. You know,
right.
So that was pretty much it. And today, of course, it can occupy your entire, you know, your entire educational years in various ways and in all classes. And I highly recommend a colleague, by the way, who's just written a book on the books that the children are being given, Debbie DeGroff, who wrote a book called Between the Covers, I think it's called, but look it up. The last name is capital D-E and then capital G-R-O-F-F. And she goes into lists very carefully all the various books that the children are being given by mainstream publishers. And they're all promoting the Kinsey ideology. They're all promoting transgenderism. When I say all, I mean, I think maybe some, you know, some get past the censors. I don't know. But it's absolutely dominates what the little children are being given.
Yeah.
And this is so dangerous to us all, really.
Yes, it is.
It's dangerous to the children, of course, but
yes. And it's following a well-developed strategy
mm-hmm.
to capture the minds of children, of course. So, well, there were several statements, several sections of your book, Judith, that I have to just tell you, I stopped as I was reading it, and I said, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Several times. And one of those, I was reading about Indiana University giving Kinsey really essentially carte blanche to investigate and create a marriage course for the women's study group or even department, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Now, that's a very strange story that really, to me, as I was reading through that, Judith, I thought, well, this really reveals the design, the strategy to attack the idea of marriage, first of all, because what in the world could Kinsey contribute in any positive way to actual normal male-female relationships within the bond of marriage? And maybe we'll touch on his own expression of marriage, as perverted as that was. at some point here during this conversation. But it was the idea of destroying marriage, destroying the idea of normal sexual relations, at least among university students. That was what I took away from that. He wanted to really infiltrate and change their perspectives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole point is you change the thinking, the attitudes of your college population. Remember, there were not that, it wasn't, there weren't, you didn't have that many kids that were in college in those years. I think we were at, when he started, it was 1%, probably more, you know, maybe 10%. But you change the attitudes of the college population, and that will change the world. Yeah. Absolutely. Especially you change it. And of course, you know, and when in 1953, when Hefner read Kinsey and decided he would be Kinsey's pamphleteer, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. that kicked in the pornography revolution. So, mm-hmm. so you change the college guy. Yeah. Then you'll change the college girl, because I don't care what they say, you know, girls follow guys, right? At least they used to. They used to. Now it's not. Now it's pretty much often the other way around. But they did. And so you change the college guy, you change the world. You just do, because of course Kinsey is global now.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And folks, I would also encourage you, follow the money. That's a well-known statement yeah. about anything.
Yeah.
If you want to find out who's backing, just follow the money.
And I
say that, Judith, because Kinsey received a lot of funding assistance for his, and I'll just call them what they are, they're perversions. But he received funding from a lot of different sources. One of them was the Rockefeller Foundation. Now,
yes.
folks, again, do your research. Foundations have had a definite bias for a long, long time toward leftist, anti-American, anti-Christian efforts. Mm-hmm. Americans need mm-hmm. to know that money is mm-hmm. no object to those who hate this nation. And the
yeah.
Kinsey Institute continues to this day to receive funding from foundations. Now, mm-hmm. beyond exposing these organizations through our own networks and platforms, do you have anything else that you can encourage listeners to be doing, Judith, in the communities in which they live?
Well, yeah. One of the things we're trying to get, again, in 1995, we almost got a investigation of the Kinsey Institute. See, because... Look, until we expose the foundation of the thinking that has corrupted our sexuality, until we expose the thinking mm-hmm. as being based on this fraud, these crimes. I mean, look, you have Table 34. I encourage everybody, take Table 34. You know, it's from page 181. To any you know, courtroom, to any meeting of the boards of education, wherever, make a blow up of it. Show that you're talking about a child of four having allegedly 26 orgasms in 24 hours. What? Mm-hmm. What? Yep. You're talking about a 5 month old, you know, being used, and it's all on his table from his own work. So I encourage people to get in touch with, please read my stuff, but, you know, with any and all information on, and get your organizations to start paying attention to the foundation of all of this, which is Kinsey, so that we can expose him in the courtrooms, we can expose him at the legislature again. We are trying to get another investigation at the congressional level as soon as the new political situation is decided. Yeah,
it defies explanation.
Yeah. We've got to get a major investigation mm-hmm. of the Kinsey Institute. Yeah. So get on the board, start looking into that. And on your Facebooks and Twitters and all that kind of thing,
yes.
start raising this I would say all the Facebook, all the avenues we now have, I would say just publish that one table and ask everybody, you know, how did he do that? What's going on? Who's, you know, what are we basing our sex education? I don't say anything but sex education. And by the way, it can be, in history now, it can be in mathematics now, it can be anywhere and everywhere. So start looking into it and take a position, because it's just our future that's at stake. I mean, it isn't just virus, you know, coronavirus, that's right. You know.
Amen. So there are a lot of toxic consequences as a result of Kinsey's perversion, and they are manifesting everywhere today, folks. Now, you provide a statistic reported by the Telegraph in the UK as an introduction to Chapter 4. Here's the quote, and this was from 2009, so it's probably higher now. But then, here's the quote, 39% of 13 to 18-year-olds admitted sharing intimate pictures and videos with a boyfriend or girlfriend via sexting. More than one in four 13-year-olds have admitted they send and receive sexually explicit pictures of themselves via mobile phones. I would wager that percentage is much higher today. Even politicians, well-known celebrities, engage in this kind of behavior. Kinsey, he had a lot of help from the media, who it appears took great delight in trumpeting Kinsey's research. Tell us about that, Judith.
Well, yeah. I mean, as I mentioned, the big one was Playboy, was Hugh Hefner, you know, because in 1953, when Kinsey came out with his book on females and said, oh, women are doing all these he didn't call them dastardly. He said he thought was great. You know, at least that's what he said. They weren't, of course. They were not. But when he came out with his book, Sexual Behavior of the Human Female, well, Hugh Hefner came out with a magazine called Playboy, which has now gone under finally. But it's been, but it spawned obviously so much worse, right? I mean, but Playboy, I won a case against Playboy. Playboy sued me for libel because I said that in 1990s, they were the worst child pornographers in the country. And they were. And they sued me in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. And if I can tell you, if you can win against Playboy for child pornography in the Netherlands, you can win anywhere. That's right. We won. Because they were using children in those years. They started in 1954. And they were using children in cartoons, which moved into photographs later and so on. But you can do much more with cartoons. And right now, there's the End It legislation. So I encourage people to get in touch with your legislators, find out what their position is on the End It. They're trying to get some control over the internet use of child images. I would encourage people to absolutely demand that any kind of cartoons, any kind of virtual child pornography, anything like that, people must be arrested for it. I say arrest the CEOs of Google or any place, you know, who are allowing that material to be distributed, because we know that people imitate it. Look, the latest data, we finally got something out of AP, the Associated Press, which we don't get from our own, you know, government agencies. 14,000 children sexually assaulted by other children in schools in the United States in 2019, yes. Or 2018, 14,000. Now, look, you have all gone to school. Yeah. Yes. I mean, who has ever heard of anything like those numbers? And these are actually arrests and convictions and so on. I mean, these are children assaulting children. Where do you think they learned that from? And what were they doing? Sodomy was being used. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. I mean, these are unbelievable. This is strictly pornography. Mm-hmm. Pornography's effects. And let's not let, you know, Big Pharma off the hook.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're gonna touch on that. There is a sexual industrial complex, folks. We're going to touch on that before our conversation is up. We have experienced a lot of fallout. We've paid dearly for Kinsey's sexual pathologies. Yeah. We could go, listen, folks, here's from Judith's book, page 73. Kinsey's fake statistics about parents were emotional poison that damaged subsequent generations to the present day. Kinsey seduced the greatest generation's children, the baby boomers, who became the sex, drugs, rock and roll kids of the late 1960s and parented the Gen Xers of the 1980s, who parented today's porn generation. It was exactly what Kinsey intended, but its virulence has likely surpassed even his expectations. Again, we are paying dearly, aren't we?
Oh, yes. And it's so interesting because now what happens is the, quote, health departments, they don't, of course, encourage their children go back to the old days and save themselves for, you know, for the guy they trust and the girl they trust ultimately to live their lives with and have sex with that person when they get married. No, all of the argument is that, well, chlamydia, herpes, all these sexually transmitted diseases, even HIV, you know, everything is just normal. It's a normal process. You all have to go through it. You know, you all have to bear with it because so many are infected. So many of our children are infected with these diseases and they are told now that it's normal. That's, and of course, Big Pharma makes a fortune from all that.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So Kinsey's pathologies, there's no question. And folks, again, get the book, Sexual Sabotage by Dr. Judith Reisman. You'll find the data, hard data, for you folks that say, well, what's the proof of this? Well, it is heavily footnoted. All the sources are given. Here's a quote from Professor Sarah Good that you included in your book. This was from her textbook, Pedophiles in Society, and she said this, Kinsey's work likened to the H-bomb when it was published and the source of innumerable citations, references, comments, and even jokes and songs, has formed the bedrock of all subsequent academic studies on human sexuality. It would be almost impossible to find an English-language book on human sexuality published since the 1950s which did not mention Kinsey. Kinsey, as an objective scientist, is a myth that continues to be perpetrated to this day. Would you agree with that, Judith?
Oh, yes. And now that I'm doing my research on the CIA, which, you know, I skipped that. You don't see it in my book at all, any of my books. Mm-hmm. I just didn't put it together, but it required a lot of digging, and I started digging. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation supported the CIA, you know, and they supported Kinsey. Well, and then the Rockefeller supported this guy, Ewan Cameron, who is a CIA agent and a violent, horrible guy in Canada doing what, and Kinsey was connected with Cameron. And so I started made the case. It didn't even occur to me until somebody sent me recently a Look magazine article from 1951, which talked about Kinsey being connected with a major CIA investment in mental institutions, mental asylums.
Well,
so
how
I've
about
just
that?
Been yes, so, which explains really honestly a lot about the movies that they made about Kinsey, about the articles that were always printed about Kinsey, these Pulitzer Prize winners who were writing articles praising Kinsey, because that was all CIA work at the time.
Well,
I never knew that. And then I look and I see Kinsey wrote in his own book in 1953 about women, which I hadn't connected. He writes that he was connected with this Columbia Rockefeller-based, CIA-based investigation at Parkland and Greystone mental hospitals. Well, excuse me, but that's where you'd have, and they did, access to massive access to the children, access to lobotomies. He was doing all this, the sex part for the Columbia people who were being supported by the CIA.
Wow. Well, you know what, Judith? So what I'm thinking, and this is totally outside the bounds of our intended conversation, folks. But when we're talking about Rockefeller Foundation, CIA, the money, and all of that, you have to include Fabian socialism. You have to include the Tavistock Institute.
Oh yes.
They were heavily invested. Rockefeller, CIA. In the Tavistock Institute, and that what we're talking about now, well, I call it psychological terrorism, but it's the whole brainwashing, the whole MK Ultra, all of those mind bending, mind changing, mind splitting. I mean, it's just a darkness, Judith. It's just darkness.
And I knew about it, but I tried to avoid it and only deal with exactly what I had on hand that I could document every inch. I knew about the Tavistock, but okay, and I have the connections. But I tried not to go there. Mm-hmm. But this Look magazine article from 1951 so directly identifies the connection with the MK Ultra and all that.
Keep up the good work, Judith. Keep up the good work, because you are making an impact. I appreciate your research very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Well, you're very welcome. So here's another quote from your book that I jotted down. In more than a half century since publication of the Kinsey Reports, the world's scientists, judges, educators, and parenting experts have transformed the man's psychosexual perversions into a scientific premise, a belief which translated into behavior, ultimately sacrosanct in our laws and courts, classrooms, and doctor's offices. Now we are living with the fallout of Kinsey's sadism and depravity. Kinsey and his co-conspirators, and that's the perfect word, because that's what they were. They weren't researchers. Ambushed and vanquished three bedrock American values: the authority of Judeo-Christian sexual morals, the sanctity of marriage, and the protected innocence of children. That's a mic drop statement right there, if there ever was one, Judith.
Yeah, thank you. Gee. Oh, I haven't read that book in a while. that's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
And it's right.
It's right.
The main thing is, it's correct, and there's been a reason that it was killed, that it's never been allowed to be published widely, that it, you know, it's always been through independent round. We had the one coverage by the Donahue Show. Everybody should go to my website and get the documentary, the documentary also, Kinsey's Pedophiles, which is brilliant. It was a British documentary, but also see the Donahue Show, because that was the one program that he tried to blow me out of the water. He had worked with the Kinsey Institute. He had published with the director of the Kinsey Institute, and he was going to show everybody that what I wrote was absolutely, you know, unreliable. And everybody at the end was standing all the, because he wouldn't show the graphs. He would not show table 34. And yeah, he wouldn't do it.
Smoking gun.
Yeah. And I only agreed to come on his program if he showed the people the truth. Yeah. So finally it was open mic. And so I kept saying, show the American people tables, you know, the tables, show them the tables, Donahue, Bill, whatever his name was. What was it? Phil.
Yeah,
Phil. And so he finally did. He said, well, okay, okay. You know, he was very begrudgingly put it up, and everybody stood in that room, in that audience. And, you know, usually he controls the audience, but everybody stood up outraged, and they said, what is this?
Good.
What do you mean a 5-month-old baby has orgasms? What are you talking? How did he know? How did he get
exactly.
that information?
Yes.
You know, they were outraged. They were outraged.
As and rightly they should have been.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I applaud you for getting Donahue to do that, because you know that was the last thing he wanted to do, because it was end of argument when that data was shown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was over. It was over for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And he said to the guests there, Trip, you have to go and take a look at this interview, at this, you know, video. He said to Trip, who was one of them, he said, well, yeah, but they were, you know, in prison, of course, at the time, you know. And so Trip, who was Kinsey's photographer, one of them, replied, well, he said, of course not. No, they were not in prison. They were pedophiles. He said, they were pedophiles who knew how to record their thing, is what he said.
Wow.
And she calls them criminals, but they were not arrested. You know, they were not arrested. Yep. They were just pedophiles who were doing this to the children. Can you believe that's where everybody really went crazy? They said, what?
Yes. Well, that meant that the audience still had a functioning brain.
Yes. Well, I think they still would if we could get this out to them.
Yep, I agree
you
with
know?
That.
You know? Yeah.
Any rational person would, upon seeing that information, is still able to put two and two together, and they should be outraged by that.
Absolutely. And and by the way, that's why it turns out that Gray and Company, a big lobbying firm, was paid $50,000 a month for a year. Yeah, $50,000, a month for a year, to discredit me. Yeah? I mean, I you know, what? Yeah.
You know, you got the goods on them, Judith, if they're spending that kind of money to try and silence you.
Yes, yes. When we were trying to get Kinsey investigated, we were trying to, I did the research on, for the Department of Justice, children, crime, and violence in Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler. And so they were trying to discredit everything I did. Well, they did pretty well. You know, I was not employed for years after my Department of Justice study. So it gave me a lot of time. God works in mysterious ways to write my books.
That's right. I'll show you.
Yeah. There we go. So anyway, yeah. And $50,000 a month. For it was one or two years. Now, I never knew about that until the book came out on the powerhouse influence in Washington, you know, by Trento, who was an investigative reporter. And she had contacted me, and I said, what? Gray and Company I wish they'd give me a little bit of that. You know, I could do a lot with it.
No kidding.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the things that has aided and abetted Kinsey's depravities has been changing our laws. Most folks not aware of that, Judith, but
no,
that's happened, hasn't it?
Well, it's not only happened, but it's one of my proudest findings. Yeah. I am proudest of that. I contacted lawyer friends who said, I said, you know, Kinsey's got to be in the law. I mean, he's got to be there somewhere. And so they sent me, you know, information. They said, yes, he is in this and this and this. And I said, no, it's got to be worse. He's got to be there more than this. That wouldn't change the world. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
So then I read an article by a very liberal gal who was Dukakis's lawyer, called Rape. And she was complaining that the American Law Institute's model penal code, which was being written, which is written by all her liberal friends, that the rape laws were so much more lenient, I mean, stringent toward the woman. You had to prove it right away. There was a fresh complaint thing. There were all kinds of, and she asked, protecting women, and it was children too. The laws protecting women were tougher under the patriarchy than they are under our liberal guys. Mm-hmm. So I started looking into that, and it turned out that all of the, you know, the laws following the American Law Institute model penal code were based on Kinsey.
Mm. Now let that sink in, folks. Let that sink in. This was and correct me, Judith, if I'm misstating here, but this was a deliberate plan to change the moral underpinnings of our law based on Judeo-Christian principles by stressing the authority of the social sciences over and above our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Absolutely. And it went on the sodomy laws that were signed off by Kennedy, you know, speaking for that was totally based on Kinsey, because it was based on the American Law Institute Model Penal Code 1955, which was the code that Kinsey gave all the data, alleged data, on men and on sodomy. And, you know, so 37% of the population, male population, is homosexual at a certain, you know, at certain points in time, he claimed. And I go into that in great detail, how he could make that absolutely ludicrous claim, and it got believed, and it got entered into our law. Mm-hmm. And the sodomy laws were changed, the marriage laws were changed, and that would be based only on quote-unquote social science, which was quote-unquote based on Kinsey.
Yes, that's right. So, folks, listen, you got to understand this. Tearing our laws from a Judeo-Christian foundation and placing them on the shifting sand of human frailties and perverted imagination has resulted in what we are experiencing today. And you already mentioned this, Judith, the gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
And I would also say that it has also resulted, Kinsey's perversions have also open the floodgates for all manner and context of human trafficking.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
100%. You have to know that in 1948, rape, simple rape, you know, just rape of an adult male of an adult female, right? Mm-hmm. Could be punished by death. And I think it was 27, well, it's almost half of the states, and the rest of them by life, by life.
Yeah.
If, you know, it was up
Serious.
There, you could do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The laws were there at that point in time, finally, to protect women and children.
Yes.
That's what our laws were there to do.
Yes.
And who passed those laws? Our men passed those laws. Mm-hmm. They understood. Yep. what men were able to do if they had the opportunity. And they passed those laws. They enforced those laws. And they were there to protect women and children, to protect, therefore, to protect marriage, to protect marriage from adultery, all the rest of it. I mean, those were our laws at that time. Look, in California, seduction was a felony. In California, you couldn't whisper sweet nothings, you know, and say, oh, I really love you, you know, I can't marry you now, but, you know, I mean, that they were there for that reason.
Yes, that's
so. What have we gotten out of it, women? Yeah, well, okay, you get positions CEO of this or that, you know, most women who become lawyers, they quit after a time so they can start having a family if they can still do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and it has not been the panacea, and so many guys are even abandoning marriage. They're abandoning women. They are, it's, and the venereal disease is off the charts.
Well, and that's, so you just went into a whole nother area. That's a very visible result of Kinsey's false data, folks, that has been codified into law. How about no-fault divorce, Judith?
Oh, golly. Yeah, that followed. That absolutely. 1963, was it? Mm-hmm. 50 or so. Yeah. I don't remember now. Yeah. But, yeah, with Ronald Reagan, mm-hmm. you know, you have to remember he was divorced, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, our personal lives affect our decisions legislatively and legally. They just do, you know? Yeah. You can't help it. And believing Kinsey's data on top of that, you know, would say, oh, we were going to make everything great, you know, no fault divorce. Mm-hmm. No, that was a terrible thing for women and children.
Right.
That was an awful thing for women and children, you know?
Absolutely.
So women started saying, well, why should I give up my college education if, who knows, you know, I marry this guy, I love him, and he can dump me in 5, 10 years when I'm not that playboy centerfold, you know, any longer.
Yeah.
And so they started giving attention to having a career so that they could support themselves.
Yes, that's exactly right. So folks, you're smart people. You can see a direct link between Kinsey's alleged research and the destruction of the traditional American family, the husband, the wife, the biological children or adopted children, the family, the sanctity of marriage, the honorable expression of Christianity. All of these things have been slain at the altar of Kinsey's sexual research. Now, there are other contributing factors, but this is a big one, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It is the, I would argue, it was the main one in the past. Now, you know, certainly everything has followed. So we got to fight this whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We absolutely do. The folks, the attack on morality, on Judeo-Christian values that up until the 60s really had been the glue that held America together since our inception is under severe attack, and it is under strain. The church, Christians, traditional home, family, are all said now, this is amazing. You folks know it. You hear it. Just connect the dots. All of those institutions that we once valued that have held America together, that made America a very special place that people wanted to come to from every country, all of those things now are said to be the enemies of a free and, quote-unquote, enlightened society. Is that right, Judith?
Oh, yes. I encourage everybody, please go download my books.
Yes.
Also, I have another, another website these days. It's called the Reisman Institute, right?
Yes.
But, those are the new, that's the new stuff, but a lot of the old, and it's combination. So they're both of them. Yes. But I urge you all to do that. You know, at my age, I'm just looking at my grandkids, my great grandkids, and your grandkids.
Yes.
You know, from we learn what we, if we can learn from the past, if we really learn from the past, we can correct the future. Amen. Anyway, amen. So I hope I can do your show again sometime.
Well, Judith, it was a pleasure and an honor speaking with you. I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
I appreciate you too, Pastor Doctor.
Well, thank you for your hard work in collecting and putting all of this information into a book. It's very readable, folks.
Thank you.
I mentioned all of the footnoting and all of the resources and sources given. That doesn't mean that it is a dry academic read. It is anything but that. But I'm just going to warn you right now. If you go to Judith's website, drjudithreisman.com, download the books. I'm looking at it right now. There are several on there you can download. This one we've been talking about, folks, sexual sabotage. When you read these books, you're going to be infuriated. And you're going to start wondering why you haven't heard it before and what you're going to do about it now. And I hope and pray that you will do something about it now. Judith, I appreciate you very much. Thank you for joining me. And let's do this again.
Yes, doctor. Doctor, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, yes.
Okay. Yes.
All right. That's it for today, folks. God bless you all. Hi, friends. Pastor Mike Spaulding here. Thank you for joining me today for this episode. You may contact me by email, pastormike@cclohio.org. I appreciate your prayers for me and the Transforming Word Ministries, which this program is a part of. You may financially support this work by sending your gifts to Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Lima, Ohio 45807. Again, Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Lima, Ohio 45807. Thank you, and may God bless you as you seek Him today.